Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. Mortimer Sturt, Ray Noble and his orchestra, yours truly, Bill Goodwin, our celebrated guests, Paulette Goddard, star of Paramount's Standing Room Only, Bert Lahr of the theater and screen, and the talented singing star of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Thousands Cheer, Lena Horne. Well, those of us who keep up with the latest in music will find a genuine collector's item in Lena Horne's rendition of the new and timely ballad, No Love, No Nothing.
No love, no nothing, no nothing for me. No love, no nothing, as long as baby must love. I promised him I'd wait for him till even Hades falls. I'm lonesome, heaven knows, but what I say still goes. No love, no nothing, and that's a promise I'll keep. No fun with no one. I'm getting plenty of sleep. My heart runs straight, and though it's like an empty honeycomb, no love, no fun, nothing till my baby comes home. No love, no nothing, and that's a promise I'll keep. No fun with no one. I'm getting plenty of sleep. My heart's on strike, and though it's like an empty honeycomb. My baby comes home.
You're Dolly.
Yes, Mr. Birkin?
Shush now. I was browsing in the library yesterday.
What were you doing in the library? Catching up on your sleep?
No. No, as a matter of fact, I was looking for a children's story.
Oh, aren't you a bit old for that sort of thing?
Well, no. I was looking for a story to tell you.
No.
Yes. You see, I realize, Charlie, I haven't told you a story for a long time now, have I?
No, you haven't, no. And don't think I don't appreciate it, too. I do.
Yes. I'm going to tell you a story now.
No.
Yes, it's the story of Cinderella.
No. Do you think my tender ears are old enough for that racy stuff?
Oh, yes. Once upon a time, there were three sisters.
Andrew's sisters?
No, no.
King's sisters?
No. Nils' brothers? No, certainly. No, there were three sisters. Of course, Cinderella was only half-sister.
Well, half a sister's better than none, I suppose.
Now, the other two, of course, were mean and ugly, and Cinderella was so sweet and gentle and beautiful that the two sisters hated her.
They did?
Yes.
Well, I'm beginning to dislike her myself.
And, Charlie, do you know why they called her Cinderella?
Because it was her name?
No. Well, yes, in a way. But because most of the time she spent in the chimney corner sitting among the cinders.
Well, there's no future in that sort of thing. Sitting in the cinders?
Yes.
What did she wear?
Well, it's...
Asbestos snuggies? Well, no. I think I know her old man, Smokey Joe. Well, I...
Yes, now, where was I?
You were laying an egg right here, yes.
Now, if you don't mind, Charlie, I can get along without your funny remarks.
Since when? All right.
One night, Cinderella's sisters were invited to a ball given by the king. The poor girl cried as she watched them ride off in a coach with four horses.
In a coach with four horses?
Yes.
A little crowded, huh?
Well...
probably sat on the horse's lap.
Yeah, probably did, yeah. While Cinderella was bemoaning her fate, suddenly there came a clap of thunder.
Ooh.
Yes. And there before her stood a fairy godmother.
No, yes. I bet that scared little old Citronella.
Oh?
Sarsaparilla?
No, not Sarsaparilla.
Pepsi-Cola.
Oh, will you please? I'm afraid we're getting away from the story.
Yes, but not far enough.
Nevertheless, the fairy godmother asked her if she would like to go to the ball.
Yes.
And Cinderella answered,
oh, my goodness, yes. Ooh.
Yes.
Did she always gargle like that or no? Her voice was changing,
probably so. She waved her hand over Cinderella's head and presto changeo.
What, rabbits?
No. No, she changed Cinderella's rags into beautiful garments.
How did she do that?
Well, of course, with her magic wand.
Magic wand?
Yes.
Obviously controlled by radar.
So that Cinderella could ride to the ball in style, her fairy godmother changed the pumpkin into a coach and the four mice into horses.
Well, that's one way of beating gas rationing, isn't it?
Yes. As Cinderella rode away, her fairy godmother warned her to be sure to get home by midnight.
Yeah.
That was very important.
Be home by midnight?
Yes, she had to do that.
Well, so what? It don't mean so much. Can't get a drink after 12 anyway. Oh, no.
Yes. Well, at the ball, Cinderella was so beautiful, the king's son immediately fell in love with her.
Fast worker, huh?
Yeah, well, this prince, of course, was a very handsome man. He was tall and he was strong and had lots of wavy blonde hair. Thick, wavy blonde hair.
Don't torture yourself. What did the prince do?
Well, I walked up to her and I said, what? Well, I mean, I sort of lived the part.
Yes, well, you're killing it.
I mean, they danced together all evening, and when he whispered into her ear, why, she blushed prettily.
Oh, she blushed?
Yes.
Told her a snappy one.
No. So the prince was probably paying her a very nice compliment.
Yeah?
Yes.
What did he say?
Well, he might have said, he might have said, Cinder, you're an eyeful.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I think that's rather good.
Yeah, I think it's a clinker.
A clinker, yes.
I might go further now. I think it's a stick.
Well, no, you don't. Suddenly the clock struck 12. The spell was broken and Cinderella ran from the ballroom. And all that was found was a dainty glass slipper, which she dropped in her haste.
Heck of a place to drop a slipper.
The prince looked far and wide to find a fit to put to shoe. Try galoshes. No.
Try another story. All right,
I yes, there's the signal that calls together the second session of the Chase and Sanborn Coffee Clutch. Well, this evening we will discuss art. And the subject is, will the works of the old master survive after this discussion? Yes. Seated around the clutch table are Professor Raymond Noble and your esteemed chairman, Dr. William Goodwin, that is I, our Mr. Axel Swenson, and our guest of honor, the poor man's Laffy Smith, Professor Bert Law.
I resent that. Heretofore, address me with the respect due a student of the finer arts. Please refer to me as Bertram Pierre Law, Esquire.
I say, where did you study art?
Esquire.
Gentlemen, they would like to move.
Please, Mr. Swenson. Our guest has the floor. Now, Professor, will you tell the forum how you started your art career?
Well, I started at the tender age of 12, chiseling in marble. My first work was on the cornhouse wall.
Hmm, that's very interesting. What did you carve?
Bait loves Minnie. Wasn't I the little chiseler?
Yes, you certainly were.
When I left reform school, I joined my uncle who dabbles in oil.
I say, really, dabbles in oil?
Yes, he's Georgie Raff's barber.
Professor Lark, will you be kind enough to exhibit some of the masterpieces that have made you famous?
That I will. But first leave me down my smock, my beret, and take my brushes in hand.
Oh, where's your palette?
In my throat, what do you think? Now, members of the Klotz, here's an Earl I painted in charcoal. It's my version of the Blue Boy.
But I say, Professor, it's blank. Well, where's the boy?
He blew.
Mr. Sherman, I would like to move.
Mr. Swenson, kindly do not monopolize the conversation.
Excuse me. Professor Lyre, I'd like your opinion. Don't you think we artists should get rid of futurism, cubism, and surrealism?
Yes, I do. And while we're at it, let's get rid of rheumatism. Yes, indeed. Yes, and here, fellow artists. Here's a self-portrait which I etched in chalk.
Of course, it has an unusual technique, you know, but what's that line down the center of your face?
That isn't a line. That's a seam. I painted it with blank makeup.
What unusual work. What depth.
What composition. What perspective. What is it?
What is it? I'll have you Klotzers know that I copy from no one, and vice versa. I don't use the Da Vinci method. I don't use the Lombardi method. And I don't use the Bacardi method. I use my own method.
Well, what do you call it?
The lousy method. No cracks.
Gentlemen, don't yum down my throat, but I would like to move.
Mr. Swenson, now please. Will you let someone else have a chance at the floor?
Yes. That guy is making himself obnoxious.
Professor Lyre, I'm not criticizing your method, you know, but I happen to be a disciple of Michelangelo. In fact, he inspired my own famous painting, The Vanishing Redskins.
I suppose it's Indians.
Oh, no, it's a man eating Frankfurter. Let me see.
Oh, a fix for that. That's sycophantic. Give me realism. Why, I painted a bowl of fruit that looked so real, I had to tear it up.
Why?
Two of the apples got rotten.
Professor, tell me, did you ever do any pastels?
Did I ever do pastels? I've got one right here. It's called The Huntress. Or Pastel Packin' Mama.
I don't get it.
If you notice, gentlemen, the huntress is stalking through the underbrush wearing a red hat.
I say, what's she hunting for?
Her clothes.
I'm tired of hearing this punk junk. You know, I would like to move it.
Mr. Swenson, for goodness sake, would you like to make a motion?
No, I would just like to move, but I can't find an apartment.
Please, Mr. Swenson. Now, Professor, what do you call this monstrosity over here?
That's Professor Noble.
No, the one on the easel.
Gentlemen, that is my masterpiece. If you look carefully, you can see the background is done in split pea brown. And for the face, I combined a bourbon beige with a straight Scotch plaid, which gave me a hangover green.
Rather peculiar coloring for a face. Don't you have flesh?
Sure. What do you think holds me together?
Now, gentlemen, please. The question we must settle is, will the works of the old masters survive?
Say, that reminds me. I've got to go back to my attic and touch up my masterpieces.
Oh, what happened?
Well, the rain leaked through the roof and ruined all my best paintings.
Oh, Professor, that's horrible. Did the colors run?
Did they run? When I got up this morning, Barefoot Boy had Whistler's mother's shoes on. Thank you, gentlemen, and goodbye.
If only I could express my thoughts in song. Well, we come now
to... Pardon me for interrupting you, Bill, but I'd like to...
Well, Paulette Goddard.
Oh, I hope I'm not intruding, but I've come here because...
Oh, now, don't tell me, Paulette. Let me think it was just to see little old me.
No, not even big old you. As a matter of fact, I came here about a dog.
A dog? Well, won't I do?
I said a dog. Well, not a wolf. Charlie has an ad in the paper, and he has a dog for sale, and I just adore dogs.
Well, Paulette, are you sure it was his ad? I don't think Charlie even has a dog.
Well, it has his address in the ad, and it says the name of the dog is Edgar.
Dog named Edgar?
Mm-hmm.
Well, really, Paulette, I haven't heard anything about it. Maybe Ray Noble can help you. Ray?
Yes, old chap, yes.
Ray, do you know anything about this ad in the paper?
Ad? Mm-hmm. Let me see. Did I have an ad? I don't remember. Am I lost this time or just lonely?
No, it's an ad about a dog who's looking for a new home.
Oh, well, I have a dog, but I don't think he ran an ad. Why, he's very fond of me, isn't he?
Maybe it's just puppy love.
Oh, no. Only this morning he jumped up and licked my face.
He did?
Oh, yes. Of course, I had been eating bacon. That helps, you know.
Well, there's a dog for sale named Edgar, and the ad gives Charlie's address.
Well, Paulette, I'm almost positive he doesn't have a dog.
Well, I'm going to ask Charlie anyway. Charlie! Come here, Charlie.
Oh! Paulette, my pet. Hello.
Hello, sugar. You know, I came here particularly to see you.
Well, naturally, sure.
No, you see, Charlie, I came here tonight about your ad.
What ad?
Well, you know, Edgar.
Edgar? Oh, him, yes.
Yes, you see, I'm terribly interested in him.
Oh, come now. You can do better than that.
Oh, but you don't understand. You don't understand how I feel about this. I really want a pet.
Oh, you little rascal. You... Oh, yes. Well, Edgar's fond of it, too, I think.
Oh, he's an affectionate rascal.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, what is he, a Great Dane?
No, he's just an ordinary Swede.
Well, I don't care what his breed is. I love them all.
Yeah.
I can just see him now. Curled up at my feet in front of the fireplace.
Well, that's a good trick if he can do it. You may have to help him up.
Tell me, Charlie, how old is he?
Well, I see he's pushing, he's pretty... Well, he's no puppy, of course.
Oh, I hope he likes me.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, do people frighten him?
Oh, it's about 50-50, I think.
Well, I don't care. He sounds awfully cute.
Yeah.
Oh, but I hope that he doesn't keep shedding hair.
That's one thing you'll never have to learn.
Well, if he doesn't have much hair, I suppose he wears a sweater.
Yeah, he does at times. Mm-hmm. But confidentially, it doesn't do a thing for him, no.
Charlie, does he do tricks? Is he smart?
Well, he said a very funny thing the other day.
You mean he talks?
Well, certainly.
Well, like a human being?
Yeah. Well, almost, yeah.
Charlie, he's the strangest dog I've ever heard of.
Dog? Well, that's no way to talk about Mr. Bergen.
Well, I was talking about a dog.
You were?
That's pretty good, mistaking Bergen for a dog.
Wait till he hears about this. I'll have to call him. Oh, Fido.
Charlie.
Oh, Mr. Bergen.
Yes, Charlie, what is it?
You know, we mistook you for a dog. Now, it almost made sense to us.
Is that so? Paulette, what's all this about, anyway?
Well, all I know, Edgar, is that somebody at your house advertised a dog for sale, but they didn't sign any name.
Oh, well, I don't believe I know anything about that.
Well, whoever put that ad in the paper must be the stupidest person in the world.
Did somebody call me?
Mortimer!
Oh, where has my little dog gone? Oh, gosh, you're pretty.
Oh, you're cute.
Oh, yeah.
You're cute, and I know you. You're Mortimer Snurd.
Yeah. Yeah, I look just like me, don't I?
Don't tell me, Mortimer, that you have that dog for sale.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Mortimer, why in the world did you call it Edgar?
Well, because he's a Mexican hairless.
Well, Mortimer, aren't you going to say hello to Paulette Goddard?
Well, I don't think I know who she is.
Well, of course you know her.
Well, I don't know her.
Yes, of course you do.
I do?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes, you do. Think real
real hard.
No, don't help me.
Why, just last night you saw her in the movies.
Oh, did?
Yes.
Where were you sitting?
No.
Don't be silly, Will.
Honestly, Mortimer, I've never met anybody like you.
Oh, there you go. Well, go ahead, ask me, go ahead.
Well, ask you what?
Well, ask me how I can be so stupid, go ahead. This time I got an answer ready.
All right, I will. How can you be so stupid?
Well, I'll tell you, it's cause, oh, darn it. I forgot my answer. Boy, am I stupid.